For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Meditation Basics. Training our brain through meditation enables us to make wise choices. When we meditate, we see our stressful thought patterns. We see our reactive tendencies. We see the stories we make up. And when we see through all that mental chatter, it's easier for us to stop, take a conscious breath, and choose a more skillful way to respond in real life. That's what this is all about. We're training the brain to be more mindful because mindfulness allows us to make better decisions. I read an article yesterday about how babies have tons of excess neural connections because they need them to learn, and how the reason that a baby or a child will ask you to do the same thing over and over, like drop the spoon off their high chair 20 times, is because through repetition they learn. That's how they create the neural pathways. That's why toddlers like to read the same book 20 times every day for a month, because they're creating the neural connections and making sense out of the world. And that's what we're doing when we meditate. We're trying to pay attention to the neural connections that we want to create. And we're trying to ignore the neural connections that we want to atrophy, that we don't want there. And so we're doing that over and over and over. All we're doing is training our brain to pay attention and to shift the focus of attention when our attention is not where we want it. We're not trying to push anything away. We're not trying to be falsely positive. We're just trying to be aware of what is, what's really happening, and aware of the stories that we're piling on to what's really happening. Because if we can become aware of those stories, we can ask whether or not those stories are really true or if it's our brain lying to us again. And so we want to be able to pay attention to what's happening right now, what's the fact, and what stories am I adding on that I take out of the baggage that I carry with me. And when I do that, I can see what's really happening. I can make better decisions because I've got better information. If I don't see all these stories that I'm making up are not really true, I'm making decisions based on false information. And so some people can be mindful and say, I'm just going to be mindful throughout the day and that's my practice. Some people can do that. I don't know too many of them, but some people can do that. But for me, when I first started, I operated at 100 miles an hour or fast asleep. And so the only way that I could slow down the mental chatter was by learning to meditate. And it was hard to learn to meditate because I was either moving 100 miles an hour or asleep. So imagine me trying to meditate for 3 minutes. I was asleep. And over time, I learned to slow myself down. And it probably was a good 6 months before I really started to see a difference in myself being a little bit more calm and collected. And so there is a difference between mindfulness and meditation. Mindfulness is a state of mind where you're paying attention to what is, hopefully non-judgmentally or as non-judgmentally as possible, and with some kindness and curiosity. Meditation is a tool you use to train your brain to be mindful, to train your brain to be aware, to train your brain to shift the focus of your attention when it's needed. We need to our brain to be concentrated like a flashlight at times, and we need to step back and see the big picture like a floodlight. And so meditation is what's training our brain. We don't meditate to relax. And there's a lot of meditation apps that have a lot of relaxation on them, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's training you to relax. It's not training you to be in the present moment and to see what's really happening. And you need both. And sometimes you need the relaxation for a while before you can even be ready to meditate, because you need to build up that internal strength. So we meditate to become more flexible and more tolerant to the present moment. We have to be able to live with what's happening. I just came from prison, and one of the guys said, I got a letter from my dad that was so upsetting. We don't get along. And I wanted to call and ream him out, but I was afraid I'd end up in the hole. So that stopped me. And he's been at another meditation group at the prison for about 10 weeks. It's the first time he's stopped and said, I'm not going to do this. So it's really important that we become flexible and tolerant and learn to be with the stuff life's going to throw at us. Because we always think, once I get through this, things will be fine. How many thought, once I get through the holidays, things will be fine? And there's always something else. And the something else is always going to be there. But if we practice, we're going to be stronger, so the something else isn't going to feel so overwhelming. So we're training to be aware of our thoughts arising so we don't get jerked around by them. Because I can tell you, I lived a lot of my life being jerked around by my thoughts and doing things that I didn't need to do. And so most of the focus on meditation is going to be sitting meditation, because that's what opens us up to our life. Walking meditation is the one all the guys in prison choose, because it's easy. They're always walking around and they think they're meditating, and hopefully they are, but there's two ways to meditate. One is going inside and the other is looking at what's going on outside. And that's a good first way to start meditating, walking meditation, to becoming aware, even if you're just becoming aware of what's outside you, because you're slowing down and you're seeing things. But sitting meditation teaches us how to relate to life directly, so we can truly experience the present moment free from our perceptions. In sitting meditation, you start seeing the stories that come up in your mind that you might not see when you're running around like crazy or running around in your normal life, doing, getting things done. You don't see all those thoughts, those 3,000-6,000 thoughts every hour coming up in your mind. But when you sit down to meditate and you say, I can't do it, my mind is too busy, it's not that you can't do it, it's that you are finally seeing what you didn't see before you started to meditate. You've slowed yourself down so you can see what's going on. So we're not meditating to be comfortable. We're meditating to be open to what's happening in the present moment in a somewhat compassionate manner, because we don't want to strengthen our neural pathway of being judgmental. At least I sure don't. And so we learn to stay with ourselves no matter what's happening. We learn to say, I can be with this. I don't like it, but I can live with it. I don't have any control over it. I don't like it, but it's here, and I'm going to be okay. I might not be okay now, but I'm going to be okay. Which reminds me, my grandson would take my granddaughter, who is 3 months at the time, her foot when she was crying, and he would hold her foot and say, it's going to be okay, Lena. And it will be okay. And it, to me, all I have to do is say that, and then I know it's going to be okay. It's not okay right now, but it's going to be okay. So we learn to stay with ourselves without putting on labels of this is good and this is bad, without putting on all the judgments, this is right and this is wrong. All of that stuff we layer on top of our experience. And with sitting meditation, we usually focus on the breath. And the reason for that is the breath is with us 24/7. We don't need to do anything or get anything to be there. And each breath is taken in the present moment. So if you're focused on your breath, you're focused on the present moment, not on the past or the future. You can't breathe in the past. You can't breathe in the future. You can only breathe in the present moment. But breath meditation doesn't work for everybody. For some people, breath meditation is focusing on the breath is more upsetting or could even be traumatizing. And that's why, as an anchor, something to come back to besides the breath, you might use your feet on the ground, which is why we start so many of our grounding meditations with our feet on the ground or our hands in the lap. You need something to pull yourself back to when your thoughts start spinning out, because your mind secretes thoughts just like your mouth secretes saliva. We don't tell our mouth to secrete saliva, it just does it. Sometimes more than we want, we end up drooling. But it just secretes saliva. And our mind just secretes thoughts. We want to become aware when our mind is secreting thoughts. So one of the things that we can do to settle ourselves down is use some breath poems. And so let's go through and do a meditation with a breath poem. This poem is by Thich Nhat Hanh, and it's the one that I used as I was learning to meditate. So getting into your meditative posture. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. So just focus on the in-breath. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. Change your focus to the out-breath. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing deeply. Feel the air go all the way down to your belly. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing slowly, slowing your out-breath. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I feel ease. Breathing in, I smile, putting just a half a smile on your face. Breathing out, I release all the tension in my face and in my body. In. Out. Deep. Slow. Calm. Ease. smile. Release. So that's just one of the breath poems that you can use in your meditation. Because different days you'll need different things. But what we end up seeing when we meditate is we see our minds going a million miles an hour, thinking about all kinds of things. And it happens without any effort on our part. We don't have to give any effort for thoughts to come up in our mind. So we start seeing when we're spinning off into fantasy land. Anyone ever spin off into fantasy land? We see when we're hardening to circumstances and people. Do you ever see yourself just tighten up when you see a certain person? We see when we're closing down to life. Sometimes we're in the middle of a conversation and we just shut down because we're tired or we're angry or we're feeling hurt. We just totally shut down. Or we might be rushing around in life and we don't see the beauty of the sky or the snow or the trees or whatever. We just close down. We see our tendency to lay lots of labels and opinions and judgments on top of what's happening. And we see that we have habitual patterns that limit our life. Like I've always talked about that brick wall I put up that limited my life. Or about my need to know everything and do everything, which again limited my life. We also see that no matter how good we plan the events and the to-dos in our life, it's not going to give us grounding and security, because the best laid plans go awry. There's things we can't control. So while planning is good, obsessively planning just adds to anxiety. It doesn't give us security. It doesn't mean that what we have planned is going to come true. And we also see that we can handle the emotional discomfort in life. We learn to start handling discomfort. When I first started meditating, it was like sit still for 20 minutes without moving, without doing anything, even if you've got a pain. And I was just like, that's ridiculous. I'm never going to sit through a pain. But I realized that I couldn't sit through any discomfort. And I started with sitting through the discomfort of an itch and just letting it be there and focusing on my breath. And pretty soon the itch went away. And that's how I started learning to be with discomfort. Because we all have lots of discomforts in our life, both physical and mental, emotional. And we have to build up our strength, develop our reps. Just like we develop our reps, build up our strength to lift weights, we have to build up our strength to be with discomfort. We can't start with the most terrible things. We have to start with the little irritating things and learn to be with them, and then learn to be with more discomfort and more, so that we're expanding our window of tolerance. The other thing that's really interesting that I've found in a lot of my meditations, sometimes, let's say I'm sitting meditating out in the woods and it's a beautiful day and the sun's shining and everything's right, and you think I would just sit there and be happy. But I find myself saying, well, when's this going to be over? What's the next thing we're going to do? We have a resistance to just being here, even when everything is okay, even when everything is perfect. It's like, well, I just can't sit here forever. I got to do something. We resist it. And so we see that, and when we see that, we can sit with that urge to have to do something and say, you know what? I don't have to give in to every urge. And we can build up our ability to resist our urges. So there's a lot we can learn about ourselves and a lot of skills we can build, inner strengths we can build through meditation. And one of them is looking at the quality of our judgment. We all know that things are Teflon for the good. Our brain is Teflon for the good and Velcro for the bad. And so we tend to judge things all the time. We don't accept them as they are. And we judge whether we like, dislike, or can ignore what's happening. And when we're judging, we might see ourselves covering up our true self with some defenses, building that brick wall, or putting on masks because we're trying to keep ourselves safe. So that's all part of it. Part of being who we are and being aware of what's happening. So let's do another breath poem. This is one that I've used in the last couple of years that works for me. So hopefully it will work for you guys. So again, getting into our meditative posture. Breathing in, I see my true self, the inner goodness inside of you. Breathing out, I let go of defenses. Breathing in, I feel my inner goodness. Breathing out, I open my heart. Breathing in, I feel joy. Breathing out, I let go of clinging. True self. Defenses. Inner goodness. Open heart. Feeling joy. Not clinging. And at the sound of the bell, we'll end this. I can tell you from experience, it's pretty exhausting wearing a mask or protecting your wall of armor. So it's not surprising that you don't feel like you have the energy to meditate. We're so busy trying to protect ourselves and putting all our energy there. So you might want to just start with an energizing breath and come back to it whenever you're feeling lethargic or sleepy, because you can find that your meditation can actually recharge you. When you're saying, I'm too tired to meditate, use the energizing breath. And the energizing breath is simply this. Breathe in to the count of 8 or 10, and breathe out for the count of 4. So you're breathing in a lot more oxygen. And again, research has shown that this really works. So we'll try it shortly, see what impact it has. But the longer you do it, the more impact you're going to feel from doing the energizing breath. So, breathing in. And breathing out. Breathing in. And breathing out. And keep breathing in through the in-breath, through the count of eight, even if you feel like you're done breathing in. Keep going. So sometimes we don't meditate because we feel like we're too tired. We can use the energizing breath. But sometimes we don't meditate because we unconsciously know that there's some unpleasant thought or feeling that's just below the surface. And as soon as we quiet our mind, it's going to pop up. Or because we're too anxious, we have so much anxiety that we say, there's no way I'll be able to meditate, I'm too anxious. Or we feel restless. We got ants in our pants and we gotta go clean the whole house to get rid of the restlessness, or we gotta go do something. Instead of giving in to the urge to quit, what we wanna do is see if we can sit through that urge. And sit through the urges. So sometimes when we're meditating, we just get restless and we wanna quit. Instead of quitting right then, just say, I'm going to sit until the third time that urge comes up. And go back to sitting. And the second time the urge comes up, okay, that's number two. And keep sitting. And when the third time the urge comes up, go ahead and quit sitting. And it's a way to train yourself that you don't have to give in to every urge in your body. Because we often, you know, as soon as I have an itch, there I am scratching. I give in to every urge. I create their neural pathway. When you have an urge, you have to fulfill it. And what I want to do is say, I want to look at the urge, see if it's important, and decide what I want to do. And that's the neural pathway I want to create. So one way to do it can be sitting like the Zen meditation, where you're sitting totally still, not moving anything at all. And then just noticing whether or not you have the urge to move. After you sit for 5 minutes, I can tell you the urge to move is probably going to come up. You're going to feel an itch. You're going to want to adjust your posture. You're going to move your leg. You're going to wipe your face. You're going to do something. Just become aware of the urge. And sometimes you won't become aware of the urge until your hand's already on your chin. That's okay. You became aware of it. And the more you practice it, the sooner you will. But it's really hard to sit with the urge to don't scratch that itch. I did this in prison this morning, and a number of the guys said, I was fine until you mentioned the itch. And, you know, I saw hands going up like right after that to scratch the itch. So we can train ourselves to not scratch, to not give in to the urge, to just stay still. And that teaches us that we are strong, we can do it. You know, if we cannot give in to an urge, we can sit with discomfort. We can do it. With practice, you'll be able to avoid giving in to the urge for longer and longer periods of time. And again, it's not to say that you should never move in meditation, because I strongly believe that there are times in meditation, especially if your head's going like this, that you need to do a posture check and bring yourself back up. There's times in meditation where your shoulders are tightening up, maybe because of a thought that's coming up, and I raise my shoulders to my ears and drop them back down. Or I get a lot of tension in my neck, so a lot of times in the middle of a meditation, I'll just roll my neck around a couple of times.
And see where that's at. So there's lots of urges that we get, and we can choose whether we want to give in to the urge, whether we want to let that uncomfortable feeling be there, or what we want to do. And that's what we're training our brain to do. And when we do that, it's really hard, and it might get us kind of worked up. So in that case, we might want to use a calming breath. And a calming breath is the exact opposite of the energizing breath. So let's do a calming breath and then sit a little bit with the intention not to move. So breathing in and breathing out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, breathing out the whole time, even when you think you've expelled all the air. Keep going. Breathing in. And breathing out. Breathing in. And breathing out. And letting your breath come back to its natural rhythm. And sitting with the intention not to move. Not to adjust for a pain that you might have. Not to scratch any itch. Just to feel what it feels like to have an urge to move and to not automatically react to it. When we meditate, we're not meditating to make ourselves comfortable. We're meditating to stay in what I call the mindful middle, not lost in thought, but not pushing the thoughts away. Being aware of the thoughts and choosing where to place our attention. We're not trying to stop our thoughts. We're trying to change the focus of our attention. The goal is to be aware of our thoughts. We want to be aware of when our minds are wandering and what they're wandering off to. And the more practice you pay attention to the present moment when you're calm, the easier and more effective it'll be when you're freaking out. You can't learn to be mindful when you're in the midst of a crisis or chaos. It's much easier to learn when you're sitting in a calm, quiet space. The purpose of meditation is not to be a good meditator. It's not to sit without moving for 20 minutes or 45 minutes. It's not to totally clear your mind. The purpose of meditation is to train our brains to be more mindful, to become aware of where our attention is, and to be able to change the focus of our attention as needed. And training our brain through meditation enables us to make wise choices. When we meditate, we see our stressful thought patterns. It's hard to see through the mental clutter. If you think of a glass filled with water and you throw some mud in and you stir it up, all you can see is the mud. But if you let that glass sit for 5 minutes, the mud all settles to the bottom. That's what we're doing with our brain when we're meditating. In life, we're spinning, spinning, spinning. All these thoughts are spinning around. When we sit to meditate, we let them sink to the bottom so we can see what's really true. We see our reactive tendencies, and that makes it easier for us to catch ourselves when we're about to put our foot on that hamster wheel of reactivity. We can stop, take a conscious breath, and choose a more skillful way to respond to life. We need to learn to have a strong back with clear boundaries and a soft front that lets in joy and love. And so let's do another meditation on having a strong back and a soft front. Breathing in, I feel my strong back. Notice how you're sitting upright, your back is holding you up, each vertebrae. Breathing out, I feel my soft front. Relaxing your chest and your belly. Breathing in, I grow my spine. So getting taller with each in-breath. Breathing out, I relax my chest. Strong back. Soft front. Grow spine. Relax chest. And let's do one more. Breathing exercise, really feeling the breath. Noticing the sensation of my breath in my body. Cool air coming into my nostrils. Warm air leaving my nostrils. Breathing in, my chest rises. Breathing out, my chest falls. Breathing in, my stomach expands. Breathing out, my stomach deflates. And at the sound of the bell, we'll end this meditation.